Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show this awesome, awesome Tuesday at 7 a.m. Don't forget, the Coach Lalisa Show is on every weekday, but on Tuesdays we're on at 7 a.m. So Professor Terry is our awesome guest each and every Tuesday morning, bringing to us powerful ideas, concepts, principles, topics, and facts. Good morning, Mr. Terry. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, there is so much going on in the world today, so many things around us. Some of us are entrepreneurs, we're parents, we're grandparents, we're college professors. Some of us are all of the above. Just lot going on. So, as I was saying, Professor Terry is here every Tuesday morning to talk to us about powerful topics. And his theme, he takes it from his new work that he's doing, his book, his movie, the play, everything, Sexy at 60. So, today he's going to talk about Sexy at 60. And the question becomes, what's your productivity level? How productive are you? So he's going to talk about Sexy at 60, your personal productivity. And he says it's more than time management. So we're going to listen in on that. But we want to first just welcome you for calling in, for tuning in, dialing in, going to your Skype pages and internet, iPads, and all the other different ways that you tune in to the Coach Lalisa Show. We thank you for tuning in. We thank you for supporting. So, Mr. Terry, now I'm going to give it over to you. Take it away.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I just want to say really thank you so much. I mean, it's great to be a guest on this particular show because we think so much alike. It's so funny over the years of our friendship. You've taught me a lot, and I hope that I've taught you a few things as well. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned from you is that you really have to mature. You really need to mature as a Christian. You need to mature as a person. And today's topic is so important to me because it's about maturity. When I talk about personal productivity, what I mean is that we're here for a purpose. And when we find that purpose, I think it's a great day. And when we live our life to fulfill that purpose, I think it's even better. So what I like to do, I like to start with a quote from the Bible. As a matter of fact, most of today's topic can be summed up in this Bible verse. And I was very familiar, I know, to you and probably many of your listeners. And it's been really something that I've heard many, many times before. But it's so funny that a lot of times when you're reading the Bible, you may read something and it really doesn't apply to you that much. So you really don't really understand what it is. But as you get older, you read things in a different way and they have a different meaning. So I'd like to start with this quote from the Bible. This is from 1 Corinthians. This is chapter 13, verse 11. And it reads like this. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And what this means to me is that it is really important to obtain or grow into maturity, to really think about your legacy, what you have done and what you will leave behind. And again, this is, again, something that we produce each and every day. I think all this goes back to service, knowing what this life is not about, is not about displeasing yourself. I'm not saying that we should be martyrs or that we should be used by other people to their advantage, but not ours. But what I'm saying, it's truly come to me that I must live my purpose. That is to find out what I was born to do and move in that direction. I think Dennis Kimbrough says it best when he says that there are two most important days in your life, the day you were born and the day that you discover why you were born. So really it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us to live our lives and to be all that we can be. And Jim Rohn says it really nicely when he says here, and this is from Jim Rohn, he says, let others lead small lives, but not you. Let others argue over small things, but not you. Let others cry over small hurts, but not you. Let others leave their future in someone else's hands, but not you, which means that we have to take our future in our own hand and live the life that we were meant to live. In other words, I think you have a choice. You can be either ordinary or extraordinary. I choose to be extraordinary. Will you just get by, or will you break out and do some things that are important not only to you but also to humanity? I think many of us, as we mature, as we start to think about slowing down and taking it easy. After all, we're 60 or 70 or 80, and we feel that we earn a little downtime, and we learn a little time to retire. But in that retirement is death. If we stop being mentally, physically, and spiritually active, if we stop feeding our minds with good reading, writing, and studying, and we refuse to exercise, we let our bodies get too big or too weak, and we refuse to study the Word of God and to stop maturing as Christians. Because to me, to be mature is not just about aging, it's about pondering the words of Gerald Brooks, another writer, and he's written a book called Leadership According to 1 Corinthians 13. And he states here, talking about maturity, he says here, maturity is not an easy path, but it does have its reward. Maturing means that you have stopped living entirely for yourself. It means that you're creating a life that outlives you. Maturity involves living your life so that your life outlives you. Ultimately, the effect of your life will be seen in the people that you leave behind. That is a real test of maturity. And so again, according to Gerald Brooks, it's not just being about you, it's really being about other people. And I like to add that living on purpose is the challenge of personal productivity. This living on purpose gives us a reason to live, to get up in the morning, to do what we do. And the final analysis, I think that we find that when we work in our purpose, that we are healthier, that we are happier, that we are wealthier, and that we are wiser. And again, and I'd like to just put out three keys. Again, I think these are three keys to personal productivity. These are three keys to living the life we are meant to live. And number one, I think we have to live life on purpose, that we have to follow our passion and find the things that we can do to expand our passion to the point where it not serves just us, but it serves other people. So again, number one, be on purpose. Number two, be determined. And what I mean by that is be single-minded in the pursuit of the things that are most important. I think a lot of times people are not successful because their mind is split in two different directions. On the one hand, they want to rise up. On the other hand, they want to sort of stay put or really follow the status quo. But I think that we need to be determined, single-minded about our purpose and what we want to leave as a legacy. But number three is be humble. Again, understand it's not all about us, it's not all about ego, it's really not all about what we want to do, but also what we can do for others. And I think when we do that, we start to be humble. We practice humility. And then last thing, in closing, I'd just like to say that we are all born with a purpose. And our purpose is our obligation. And our obligation to God is to find that purpose and to live that purpose. And that's an obligation not only to God, but also to man. Because I saw in the final analysis, I like what Les Brown says in one of his seminars. He says that we need to live full and die empty. And what he means by that is that all the gifts that we have, all the things that we've had that we've been given through our studies, through our prayer, through our service to God and to man, we should take all these things and give those things away. These are things that are given to us for a purpose, not to sell to people, but to give away in different ways. And if we get some kind of monetary compensation for that through teaching or writing books or public speaking, that's all right. But the big thing is that realize that what we have is not just for us, but it's really for those that we can help along their journey. And so, again, when we talk about personal productivity, it's not is about time management. We should all use our time to the best of our ability, but it's also about being productive so that you have something to live. It's so funny, I think about the fact that at this point I have two granddaughters. One is 3 and one is 13 months. And it's so funny when I look at these two little people, I really want to be around to see how their life turns out. I want to see them get married and have children and go to college and get your degrees or whatever they want to do. But it's so funny. And it's not just being selfish. It's just really planting a seed, because when my 3-year-old granddaughter comes over, she likes to just have me come up, bring her up to the office and just talk to her, you know, just let her talk and give her my full attention, because now she has a baby sister. She feels that she's maybe a little left out. And so she loves when we give her attention. The thing is, the attention I give her is really my life experiences and from my determination to live on purpose. And so, again, I just want our listeners, to understand that, you know, we're here for a purpose. And once we realize that purpose, once we live that purpose, we can be happy, we can be wealthy, we can be wise, and we can be productive. Amen.
Hey, give me key number 3 again. Sorry about
that. Yeah, number 3 is basically to be humble, not
okay.
To think more of ourselves than we need to.
Okay, and that was okay. So, being personally productive, focusing on what it is
that's an important thing. Yes, the purpose.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, that's good, you know. We need to definitely achieve what God has purposed us to do and has given us to do, and certainly it's going to be a sad thing, you know, like you were quoting from Les Brown, if we don't die empty, if we don't put forth, from the legacy from which God has given us the ability to do. And you know, this topic is so very important. And like you said, so many times I'm finding, too, that, yes, we think alike. And so no wonder that the universe would bring us together through our thoughts and our actions and things like that. And many people who also tune into the show also are people who are seeking to be motivated, to be empowered. That's why they would tune in. As a person that's looking for, you know, to go on to that next level, is looking for that encouragement, that support, and the instruction. So, you know, I think that's good what you were saying, that, you know, these three keys to really being productive. You were talking about having those three keys, and when you have those three keys in place and operating for you, a person is going to see massive change in their life. Really, they're going to see massive change in what they're doing. And then you can do it every single day. It's not just for one day and then you're good to go. It has to be practiced on a daily basis. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think what it does, it comes back to life. I mean, I know a lot of people in my age are, you know, a lot of times they don't even feel that they have anything left to do. And I think that's really, I think aging is not so much the numbers, but it's really the attitude, okay? I think a lot of people feel that, you know, they've done all they can, and now it's time for them to relax. And I think it's just the opposite, because we have all these skills and talents. We need to find ways to share more of those talents and share more of ourselves, because, again, I think we are made to move forward. We're not made to just lie still or to rest on our laurels, or rest on a challenge, or rest on what we did before. I think life is about doing something new, because we have to be stimulated in this life. If not, there's no reason to live. You know, we have no purpose in life. And that's when life becomes too long, you know, it becomes too boring, and it becomes unproductive, because we have it in our minds that, you know, there's nothing else to do. But you know what? We know that there's so much more to do, because there's so many people coming behind us that need to get what we have.
And I think we should always do new things. I mean, Jesus, when he fed the 5,000 from two fish and five loaves of bread, he didn't sit there and go, well, I've never done this before. I don't think I'll try this, because it may not work, because I've never done it and I've never seen anyone do it. Yeah. And I remember when he made the spittle that he put on the ground and made the concoction for the person's eyes when they were blind, and he was healing them. He didn't say, well, I've never seen a concoction like that made before, and I'm not quite sure what will happen when you mix spittle with dirt, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he was willing to try new things. And I think we, you know, taking a risk, I think we can learn a lot from many of the things that he did. You know,
right.
I was even going a different way. You know, and he said, I must needs to go to Samaria. But he went, you know, a different way than what he normally would have gone, that he could have gone to get to where he was going. He said, well, I'll go through this way. And what happens, he meets the woman at the well, who was pretty much there to meet him. Sometimes we don't want to go a different way. We want to go the same old route, not realizing sometimes that our breakthrough, our biggest success is just a different way away. Yeah, we were just to go another way, try something different, try something new.
I love that, because I think what you're saying in essence is sometimes if we look at things from a different perspective,
yeah,
you know, I mean, and it's really, like you said, I mean, it's so funny, you know, we're creatures of habit to a large extent, and we tend to want to do the same thing every day because it's really comfortable for us. But when you try something new, I mean, like, for example, let's say every morning you have turkey, bacon, and eggs every morning. Well, maybe this morning, maybe you want to have something different. I know a friend of mine, we both like to go to an Indian restaurant, you know, food from India. Now, again, I mean, you know, It's so funny. It makes you laugh. But I like to experiment with different foods. But you know what? Every culture does something with chicken. Okay, they might fry it. They may, you know, they may strip it. They may boil it. They may bake it. You know, they may cut it in strips and serve it in a pancake. But the thing is that it's chicken, but it's done in a different way. And again, as it's done in a different way, we appreciate it in a different way. And I think the same thing with our talents and our abilities. You know, I know when I first started, all I wanted to do was write books. And then I realized that I was writing these books, but nobody would read them because they were too long. So I started writing plays. And then
That's
I got
funny.
Into writing screenplays, you know?
That's
so
funny.
Again, you know, you got to really take your talent and you got to do different things with it is what I'm saying in essence.
That was funny. You said you love to write books, but nobody would read them because they were too long. That is so funny. But that'll help all those writers out there who won't finish that book because they think they got to add more. Stop. People don't want to read. I keep telling people, people don't want to read all that. And especially not today, Terry. People, they want to read, but they want it to come fast and short. People are very busy. They want you to get to the point. Anyway, so because of people's appetites changing, it's really helped the writers like myself. So I'm very thankful for them. But that's just so funny. You could always, if you ever do a writing conference, and I know you will, or if you ever have, or if you have to speak at any, make that your opening line. You'll get a lot of laughs.
It's
hilarious.
And it's so funny because, I mean, and that's why I think that we have, as writers, okay, we have to make it exciting. We have to make it short. We have to make it to the point. Because, again, with time, people don't want to spend the time. And even though you and I know that they need to do that, but, you know, I think part of our service, part of our gift is to make it appetizing. You know, I mean, you can cook a good meal, a healthy meal, but if it doesn't look appetizing, nobody's going to eat it, even though they need to eat it for the strength of their body.
Well, you can learn that, too, from watching the cooking, that one channel, Food Channel. When those four judges are there on the TV show Chopped, a lot of times they will chop a person because, well, it did taste pretty good, but it's not, you know, that's one of the things they get rated on. How appetizing does it look? Presentation is important. So, you know, and the other thing I was thinking about the writing, when you think about it, if people, when it's a very long book, for some people, you know, they're into a sense of accomplishment. So, If you take a 600-page book and give me a six-book series, each one 100 pages,
Lisa, I love that.
Finish 100, I feel like I've finished something. Whereas now for a person who is a speed reader, well, they probably can read a 600-page book in a day. or if you're in prison or have a year-long hospital stay, you might enjoy doing the same thing for 600 pages. But for the other person, they want to know, well, I finished something, accomplished, you know. And then, okay, let me start something else. Because a lot of people struggle with a sense of accomplishing something, finish something.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so funny because Robert Townsend, the filmmaker, did what they call a webcast, and it was entitled The Diary of a Single Mom. It was really a story about a single mother raising her two children, but also in the community. And what he would do, like, he would put, like maybe 10 minutes of a webcam. And it's so funny because recently he released a film entitled The Diary of a Single Mom, and what he did, he put all these 10-minute segments together, and now they all add up to a film.
Wow.
And I find a lot of filmmakers doing it. And I really think what you hit on was brilliant when you said, you know, you have a 600-page book, but maybe if you break it into six parts, people will be more apt to read it. And I believe that's fine because I think a lot of times we maybe stuff people too much, and if we give them a little bit to digest at a single time, I think that would be better. So I'm going to figure out what you said because that's important. I love that.
Yeah. When I pick up a book, I mean, quite frankly, if I'm in a bookstore, and not everyone, but it could be many, I pick the book, and I'm like, oh, great title. I look at the back, oh, great point. But But I'm like, oh, wow, I ain't going to read this. It's too many pages. And I'll just put it, I'll just put it down. But then I'll go to another book that might only be, you know, say 80 to 120 pages. Yeah. Now I'm looking like, okay, this is something I can finish. Especially for somebody like is very busy or a person that doesn't really enjoy reading, learning, but not the reading because maybe as a child, you know, we struggle with learning how to read. So there's that little negative voice in the back of your head, you see. And I remember when I was doing a book signing once at Jesus Book and Gift, a woman at the door, she was a very professional, academic, smart woman, but the lady told me, I tried to sell her my book. She convinced me that she flat out would not buy my books. She thought they were great topics and everything, but she said, ma'am, I do not read. And I look like, you got to be kidding. You sound articulate. You sound smart. Mm-hmm. She says, it's not that. Ma'am, I am so busy. I work in New York. I have to pick my children up. They're involved in different activities. I spend a lot of time on the go. If you give me something in an audio version, she said, I'll buy everything you have. She says, here's my card. When you turn your book into audio, give me a call, and I would be more than happy to support you. I'll never forget that. That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, but you know, she was honest because obviously I think it was a thing that she might have been interested in. But again, time is of essence, and that's why for a lot of people, you know, they have what Zig Ziglar calls his commuter university. Which means that when he gets into his car, he puts in an audiobook. And so as he's driving to his destination, he's listening to this audiobook, and so he's getting the same essence of the book, but he's getting it through the audio channel, you know?
And I think all that's a part of, you know, being more productive, maturing, finding out what it is that will really get us to that next thing, that next level, that next goal that we're trying to achieve, and not, you know, and not staying in the same place. Like the scripture you were reading, you know, when I was a child, I speak as a child, but when I got older, I put childish things away, and we begin to do things more mature. It's time to do something different. It's time to put away childish things. Meaning too, I also see in there that it means that it's time to start doing things a different way. You know, stop doing things the old way. Childish not meaning necessarily you were 2, 3, or 4, but childish meaning this is how I did it in the beginning. Like when I first started out as a speaker, as a writer, that's how I did it. But I'm more mature now as a speaker, as a writer. So I'm going to do things different.
And it's also appreciated by the audience because, again, I think people need them. People look for new things, new ways of presenting things. And, you know, and they said in the Bible, and I'm paraphrasing, it says that there's nothing new under the sun. So there's nothing new. All you can do is present it in a different way because it's not new, but it's presented in a different way, and people can appreciate it. But it's, again, I think all the things that we need to know, all the lessons that we need to know are in the Bible. That's why I think a lot of motivational speakers, as you want to call them, whatnot, are turning to the Bible because they realize that everything they can teach has already been taught.
Absolutely. That is so true. That is so true. That is right. Yes, exactly. And that's why for a long time, some Christians who would read and hear things from these various empowerment and motivational type speakers and hear them say things that are straight from the Bible, but they never gave the quote from them. But yet, if they were to come up with something and you did not quote them, they would probably try to sue you.
They would.
Yet they will quote the scriptures with concepts and theories and principles and then act like they just pulled it, you know, out of a tree. Well, no, because you got to start with who created the tree, okay?
Yes, exactly. Go back to the source.
Yes, that you pull it out of dirt. Well, who do you think made dirt? So this is what we people have to realize and, you know, recognize that it is important to give credit to where credit is due. I mean, every writer knows that. And every speaker, you know, I'm with with Toastmasters, and if you ever gave a Toastmaster speech and you did not say where you got your reference from, like if you quote somebody and you don't give where it came from, you will absolutely disqualify yourself in a speech contest.
And I can appreciate that because, again, I mean, I don't think anybody is that brilliant that we have original thoughts. I think all the thoughts that we have been rehashed and refried and repackaged for another generation. But again, it's really nothing new. And that's why for myself, I've gone into reading my Bible every day because I realize that what's in there is there for a reason, but also it's been there for a long, long time. I mean, again, it's with the dawning of man. I mean, man and women have not changed, you know, biologically or physiologically since the day that we created. But it goes back to the Creator. You know, T.D. Jakes says, you know, if you want to know how to use a thing, you don't go to the thing, you go to the Creator of the thing. And I think that is so powerful, you know, because I believe that we are created for a purpose. And once we find that purpose, I think, you know, we can live forever, but not just to live, just not to exist, but to live with purpose and live with expectation and to live with joy. I think that sums it up, you know?
I think so, too. And on that note, I don't want us to get cut off, but we thank you for tuning in to the show today. We thank you, Terry, for presenting this very powerful topic to help do something new, move to the next level, take advantage of our purpose, those three keys that you talked about in terms of being productive and making the best use of our time and our talents. You said that we should be on purpose, live a life of purpose. God has given all of us a purpose. Discover it, find it, do it. You said that we need to be determined, focus on what it is that we want to do, be determined, go after it. You know, be single-minded and not trying to focus on many things at one time because we get more distracted, more frustrated. The third thing you said is that we need to be humble. Don't think more of ourselves than we ought to. Again, like you said, there's nothing new under the sun. Get over yourself. And others to help. We should help others. As we help others, we help ourselves. And I love the example you gave about the chicken. There's always another way to do something. Don't get frustrated. And just because you see that someone else has done something, just come up with another way to do it. I mean, think about how many different ways people created a dish detergent. You know, they didn't stop at one thing, and how many different brands, and they all, I don't care, Tide, all, you name it, all the different things out there, they all made theirs different. They all did something. Even the packaging is different. There's a chemical in theirs that's different. But they all do the same thing, but they're all different. But they all do it a little differently. One cleans your colors. One brightens your whites. One or around the dirt around the collar. I mean, you know, this is how we have to think. I know it sounds like marketing, but we have to think about, well, we're a product. So with that being said, Terry, thank you again for this awesome topic. Can't wait to hear what next Tuesday is going to be.
And I can't wait because I don't know. If it is whatever is dropped into my spirit, this is what I teach and what I share. So thank you for the opportunity.
Well, you know what? You are a fast learner. You are you are a quick study. For a man that's been saved less than 12 months.
Oh man, please bless
you. You got a lot of you know, words that, you know, dropped in my spirit and things.
I'm truly inspired, Lisa. I mean, it's so funny when they say when you're born again. Yeah, I am born again because I think differently, I act differently, and it's been a blessing to me as well as my family. So no, it's all good. It's all good.
You are amazing to me because having known you from 1991,
at least.
And again, you know, knowing you on that level of working colleagues, personal friends, working together at the different colleges where we worked, doing all the speaking, so many times you had me come to your class and speak to your students, and I appreciate
it. Pleasure.
I appreciate it every single time. And not quite knowing if you were a Christian, I didn't know what you were, to be honest with you.
I was searching.
Know if you were, you know, Muslim, Hindu. I didn't know what you were, but
right.
I know you weren't a flat out, you know, Christian. You never said hallelujah, praise the Lord, or if I said to you, have a how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. So you never said any of those things.
Yeah.
Things that you may say today. So you're so amazing. Well, God is amazing because how He did all of this, and so. And I never, you know, said to you, hey, brother, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? You know,
don't
you want to get saved before you leave here?
Yeah.
Like some people think they have to do with people, and I understand sometimes we do. But at the same time, I believe what was happening was that, you know, I had a quiet witness. I'm hoping that's what happened.
Well, I think it's our transformation as you speak about, you know, I mean, You have to change. I mean, I don't think you can really be happy if you the same yesterday as you were today. I mean, that's the excitement of life as far as I'm concerned.
But one day you said to me as we were doing the show, you said, oh, I have big news that I'm going to announce on the show. The next day I'm thinking, oh, maybe he got to deal with Harry. Maybe Yale University has invited a 12-month lecture series. I'm like, well, I'm thinking all these different things. He's got a new book deal with Doubleday.
No. That's just mundane. That's ordinary.
You're like, oh, I got this big thing that I'm going to announce. You're going to be happy about it. And when you got on there and said that I received Christ as my Lord and say,
whoa.
You know,
and that's a biggie, right?
I could have just passed out. I'm like, as a matter of fact, I'm still floored about it, and this happened, this was months ago now. And I said, I'm just like looking at God like, wow, God. And then I said, well, watch out, Christian world, because, baby, you got a real one now. You got
you know, but again, just learning, you know, just being open to a change. And
well, knowing the way you love to be, well, knowing, I'm sure you've already read the whole Bible 8 times by now.
Oh, please, many times.
Knowing the way you love to read, knowing how much you care about people, just truly, deeply care, and
right.
To put all of that now with the power of God in you and Christ being alive in you, because He's already, you know, He in us, but He's not alive. But it makes us alive when we, you know, pronounce with our words that we receive Him. Wow, I'm like, look out, world, here He comes.
Yeah, but again, like I said, I think it's about, you know, that renewal, you know, because again, you can be so much into yourself that you don't think that you need, you know, that you need God. And I don't ever want to be that kind of person. I don't want to ever be that kind of person to feel that they know so much that they don't need.
Well, you got a message, and boy, oh boy, to get to be 60 and to be healthy as you are, and to receive Christ with such a boldness as you've done, I got to talk to my sister. We've got to get you on our Sisters in the Spirit, which is our, you know, ministry broadcast, and we've got to hear your testimony. I mean, so many people who are right where you are, who haven't yet made up their minds. I think they should have you. Every church ought to invite you in to speak because you are truly, Terry, I'm telling you, this is very awesome, and people need to hear, and I'm going to be hoping that, you know, Kiva will invite you on her show. You need to share your testimony about getting saved. Now you could write the book, Getting Saved Regardless of Your Age or something.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I think people understand, as I got to understand, it's never too late, you know, to be renewed. And I know for myself, I think I've added, you know, another maybe 20, 30 years to my life only because now I'm truly on a righteous path.
You are on fire for, and to talk and to get on here with your 1 Corinthians, you know, 13, 11. I'm just in awe of God because when we first start talking about you coming on the show, I'm like, okay, now, you know, I don't know what his religious views are. I don't know what he might say.
Oh, my goodness.
But I trust Holy Spirit.
That it gave you that. It changed. I mean, you know, it was beginning to be that, but you know, I didn't know how far I would go. But you know, I've met people. I'm with people. You know, I'm married to a person who's very spiritual.
Wow.
And around spiritual people, you know, and then that makes a difference, you know.
Wow. Terry, I'm just floored at God. He's just amazing me. But we don't want to keep going because we'll run out of time and Blog Talk will just hang up on you. So, well, and I don't want that to happen because...
But it's always next Tuesday.
It's been too precious. It's really precious. And thank you for our callers who have stayed tuned in and those of you who will listen. We hope that you will be changed forever and do something new. So, again, Terry, thank you. We'll see you back Tuesday. God bless each and every one.
And see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up because, in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.